Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called How to Live with Fear with Heather Vickery. Heather is a global leader that helps you leverage your fear into intentional bravery. A celebrated public speaker, Heather inspires audiences and supports others with the tools they need to live empowered, bold, and successful lives. I am super excited to have Heather on our show today. I know we are going to learn so much, and I just love her perspective on how to live with fear, how to overcome our fears, and really how to be brave. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm super excited to have you. And I know you have a lot of different things that you do. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I always think that's such a loaded question. So I'm a success and leadership coach, but really everything I do centers around the concept of brave. And when I say brave, I mean everyday brave. I mean, finding your brave in all of your choices. So I also host the Brave Files podcast, which is an incredible show that tells the story. I interview people who have stepped out of fear and into bravery in every walk of life. I support majority entrepreneurs in how to embrace their fear, to make brave choices personally and professionally. I call myself sort of a holistic 360 coach because we work on personal and professional. I know that you cannot thrive in one area of your life if the other areas of your life are a hot mess. So we do those things together. And so that's both kind of a partnership of mindset work and all of the, what we call the woo-woo stuff, but also the real straight up type A strategic things that can be proven, right? There's science behind all of this. It feels, because we're talking about fear and we're talking about bravery and we're talking about all of those things, it feels like it's all mental and it's not. There's real science behind all of it. So I have a coaching platform called the Brave Method. And this is really how I approach everything in my life, in all of the different businesses that I have, in my writing. I have my third book coming out soon, and everything that I do. And so Brave in that case is an acronym, and it stands for boundaries, reassessment, reframing, resilience, action and accountability, vulnerability, and then expansion and empowerment. Mm. And so that is the core of how I help everybody step out of fear and into bravery in all of the different ways.
Ooh, so good. I love the word expansion. So I'm sure we'll get there.
That's my word of the year.
Aren't we? Right? Oh, yeah. That's your word for this year?
It is. Yeah. It came to me, and so now I'm going to sound, for those of you who don't do woo, it came to me in an energy healing session. It literally just like floated in front of me and I heard it. I was like, oh, expansion. I need to, because the E always just stood for empower. And I was like, it's expand and empower. And that's where I am. That's what I need to do. That's what we do. And so, yeah, expansion is a big word for me this year.
Lovely. And I do energy healing too. So good. It's good. Awesome. Well, I think this idea of fear, as I've been speaking to thousands of people from all over the globe, and it feels like fear is a common denominator. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what, you know, what role you have. It doesn't matter what your economic background. It doesn't, fear comes into all of our lives. So tell us a little bit more about kind of this idea of fear and really what it looks like in our lives and how it shows up.
Absolutely. So I love what you just said, because it's 100% on point. We all have fear. Fear is a natural human emotion. And there are times when fear literally saves our lives. It keeps us from walking out in front of a car or jumping, you know, taking the wrong step and accidentally falling off a bridge or, you know, whatever it is, right? Fear is normal. But there's a very minimal difference between being excited and being afraid. It's really just the mental attachment to whatever it is that you're experiencing. You'll notice that those feelings are very similar. If you pay attention to your body, you feel your chest, your heart start to pound, or you feel something in your belly or whatever, right? So physically, fear can be either of those things. I find, and what I've done with hundreds and hundreds of clients and through my own work, is that when we take the time to look at our fear, to assess it and reassess it and see what we're actually afraid of, which in most cases isn't the thing that you think you're afraid of at first glance. Usually it's not that very simple answer. It's usually, 10 or 15 layers in. If you think about what you're actually afraid of, you learn so much about yourself and about what you really want out of life and who you want to be in the world. And then you have knowledge, and knowledge is power. With that knowledge, you can make choices. I do a game with a lot of people. I'll say, okay, so if you did this thing that feels so scary to you, what's the worst thing that could happen? And if the worst thing that could happen is, if you're a surgeon and the worst thing that could happen is somebody dies, well, then maybe you don't do that, right? I don't know, right? But most of the time, the worst thing that could happen is, well, somebody might not like me, or I could lose a client, and then you could change your mind, or you could decide that client's not for me, right? Go through all of that. And then I say, what's the best thing that can happen? And we start to think about possibility. And that's really brave action. And it's brave inaction. When we really think about what is possible if we go, okay, fear, you can exist. I see you, but you're not in charge of me. So I'm going to be aware of you, but I'm going to do these things anyway. Oh. Because when we think about.
Oh, yeah, that's so good. Friends, you need to hear what she just said. You can feel that fear and do it anyway. And you can move forward in your life, even when it feels scary. And as you're stepping outside your comfort zone, many times you're going to feel fear because your brain, it's trying to figure out a past experience that relates to what you're doing right now. And if you don't have that, fear comes into your brain and tries to protect you. That's what it's set up to do.
It's its job.
And so fear is a natural occurring thing. As soon as you step outside your comfort zone, you're going to feel it. But like what Seth Godin says is you need to dance with your fears. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And
it is.
I love how you said that. And I think the word you used was possibilities. Tell us more about what is possible. What is possible in this feeling of fear? So say somebody's listening, they're experiencing something that they're afraid to do, but they know if they did it, it probably would turn out pretty good.
Fear of success is a real thing. That's often,
absolutely.
If I get this thing, my own partner, my life partner, I don't have a business partner, her business is exploding. And she said, I just realized if everything goes the way I've planned, everything's going to change. And that's terrifying. So I got to say to her, because it's really fun when I get to coach her, I got to say to her, lots of things are going to change, but it's really crucial to stop and think about what you don't want to change. What are your non-negotiables? So everything doesn't have to change. Mm. You can create the life that you want and maintain some of the things. Yes, you have to be flexible. You have to be willing to shift. But if something is important, and that's why in that Brave method, the three R's, reassessment, reframing, resilience, identifying what your non-negotiables are, what you aren't willing to give up. So if that's travel or weekends with your family or whatever you want it to be, or time to sit and read, it's non-negotiable for me, right? Then you have to prioritize those things and work with them. And that's really, really important. So I say that fear either owns you or empowers you. Fear can literally empower you if you're the boss of it instead of it being the boss of you. And I want to be really clear. This is so important to me. We are not talking about becoming fearless. I call utter bullshit on the concept of being fearless. Fearlessness is for sociopaths and three-year-olds. We need fear because when we stand in the face of fear and make brave choices, it impacts us in every way, physiologically, physically, mentally, emotionally. So from a success standpoint, people around you see it and it's contagious. And also it really freaking feels good to know that you are doing brave things and you get to decide. Much like we always say, success is self-defined. So is bravery. And for some people, getting out of bed is brave, or making a phone call is brave, or asking for support is brave, or saying no is brave. And for some people, they're bigger things. And for you, it's probably all those things. And my goal is for you, Alison, and you, the listeners, and everyone that I come in contact with, is to notice and acknowledge your brave choices every day. Whether it's, I'm going to bravely take the day off because I have to care for myself because I've I'm burnt out, or I have to bravely push through and do something, right? Sometimes it means slowing down. Sometimes it means speeding up. It's self-defined. And if you implement the BRAVE method, which is my coaching method, it helps you identify what that's going to be and to know within yourself when you need to do what action or inaction, as it may be, to really honor that braveness in yourself and to celebrate it, which is something I think is crucial and important, and to show gratitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such great points. And, you know, one of the things that you talk about is this idea of imposter syndrome. And so first off, I'd love for you to define, what does imposter syndrome mean for our listeners? Because some may have heard it, some may not have heard it, but we all kind of define things differently, right? So I'd love to hear your definition of what is the imposter syndrome, and then we'll talk more into
that. And I really appreciate that you just said that, because there are different definitions, or people internalize things differently. They feel them differently. From my perspective, imposter syndrome is essentially that limiting voice that says, who do you think you are to do this? You don't know this. You're not an expert at this. You don't have enough experience. People don't like you, or they're not going to like you if you try this, or you don't know enough, or, oh, this is a good one. But there are so many other people that do this already, or they do it, quote unquote, better. I want everyone to understand that the first thing that needs to happen if you're an entrepreneur is you need to feel passionately about what you do and be in service. It's not about sales. It's about being in service and supporting people and changing lives in some capacity, whether you have a product that makes their life easier or a service that helps them become more diverse and inclusive or have better systems, whatever it is that you're doing. But nobody is going to do what you do the way you do it. Competition is a construct. It's BS. Quite frankly, there are a million coaches, right? And if I was like, oh, I'm not going to coach because there are a million coaches, I would be missing out. My clients would be missing out, because nobody does what you do the way you do it. And so the key is, don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to emulate their success. Don't try to do things the way they've done it. Do things the way you want to do it, and be really authentic and vulnerable in your approach, and your people will find you. As Brené Brown says, vulnerability is the birthplace of invention, and so is BRAVE.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. And I think, you know, as we're thinking about this idea of imposter syndrome, understanding that these are just false beliefs that kind of either have been passed down or that you've picked up along the way. And when we have beliefs that we hold on to, we get to decide whether or not that belief is serving the best version of us or not.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, is it serving me to believe that I'm unworthy of this? Is it serving me to believe that, you know, I'm not as good as that next person, or that I don't have what it takes? And if that answer is a no, you get the decision to choose.
Get to choose. But I want to be sensitive to the fact that we say these things, and these things are simple, but that doesn't mean they're easy.
Mm-hmm.
They're simple changes and choices. I'm not going to believe that anymore, or that's not going to be my story anymore, or I'm going to do this thing despite what everybody says. But they are not easy. And when we have been raised to be perfectionist or to make ourselves small so that other people feel better, to do all of these things, limiting voices do all of those things, imposter syndrome does all of those things, you're going to create change with all of those things when what you have up until now allowed to be acceptable is no longer acceptable. And you are the only one that can know when this is no longer acceptable and you're ready to make change. And then it's really, really hard work, but it's also incredibly rewarding and valuable and worthy. And the world wants you to play big. You were not made to play small. The world wants you to play big, but you have to believe that, and you have to want it and be willing to do the hard work to get it.
Absolutely. And one of the other things you talk about is not waiting for the right time.
There's this idea.
So many people I talk to say, oh, well, you know, right now is not the right time. And I did that for a very long time. I just would give myself excuses for why I couldn't do, be, or have what I wanted in my life. And then I remember I went in and I got a lump removed, and I didn't know if it was cancer. And in those days, I had this like big, like wake up call of, holy crap, holy crap. Like,
what if I'm out of time?
Yeah. What if I'm out of time? Or what if this is, you know, what I appear it is. And it wasn't, thank God. But after that moment, it was just like what my wake up call to say, hey, Allison, you're playing small. You're not playing all out. You're giving yourself excuses of time.
Yeah.
And you need to start, you know, playing into who you are and helping the people that need you. And so absolutely. Talk about, you know, this idea of time and what is the right time or not the right time.
Well, the journey is the destination, right? So what are you waiting for? And again, I really urge you to say, what's possible if I go ahead and try this, or if I start this, or even if I just start to dream about this or to think about what this could look like and feel like. So what I think people get all caught up in is believing that everything has to happen at once. It doesn't all happen at once. And just starting to sit with the idea of something and imagine it and dream it and maybe write out a little outline, that's actual action. That's not nothing. It's really something. And then if you look at it and you're honest with yourself and you go, huh, well, this first step, that doesn't require me to have days and days of free time. That doesn't require me to have whatever it is that your blocks are telling you need to have or this much money or whatever. Why don't I just do this one and then see what happens, right? And then you build on those baby steps. But there's never a right time. And I will say that I believe one of the silver linings from the pandemic, which has been awful in every possible way, but there are always silver linings if we choose to look for them, is that so many people were essentially forced to get creative, to reinvent, to flip things on their head and go, wait, now, okay, whoa, how am I going to make a living? What am I going to do? I had so many clients who created new products and new services and put it out there and had banger years, had amazing years. So we think, oh, maybe one day I'll try this or one day I'll try that. But then something like the pandemic hits and you go, oh, I have to try that right now because all of my other business is gone. And then you just realize it wasn't quite as hard as it felt like it was. Mm. So just start dreaming and making a list and look at the first step. Just look at that very first step instead of waiting, because what if or when, they don't exist. There's never a right time. There's never a right time. Make right now the right time.
I love that. And one of the questions I used to ask myself all the time is, what if everything goes wrong, right? So I would start with that. And then one day I was like, well, that's not a very positive way to look at the world. And so what if everything goes better than I could have ever imagined? And so now that's the question I ask myself when I'm going to try something new is, what if it's better than I could have ever imagined? And what would that look like? And every time I do that, then it's like, oh my gosh, like it's so much more expansive. And so when you're thinking about that next step, what if it's better than you could have imagined? And I think many of us haven't been taught to think that way, right? We're taught to look for everything that could possibly go wrong to quote unquote protect ourselves from quote unquote all the bad things that could maybe happen, right? But in reality, what if it's really good? And what if we're really strong? And what if we're really courageous and brave? What if all of that is the truth? And then we lead with that type of strength.
Exactly.
There's nothing stopping us, right?
There's nothing. And that's where I say, what's the worst thing that could happen? Really, truly, sincerely ask yourself that question. What is the worst thing that could happen? And is that worst thing really that bad? But then if you partner that worst thing with best thing, and you go, ooh, is it worth risking the worst thing for the best thing? And very often we find that it might just be worth it.
Right.
Might just be worth it.
I love that. And it's really important to think about, where am I putting my energy? Have I been putting my energy into that fear, or have I been putting my energy into being brave? And, you know, as a person who's very analytical, I was putting too much energy into being fearful, right?
Yeah,
into being analytical. And as soon as I said, you know what, this has got to stop, I've got to create something different. That's when, you know, it opened up so many more opportunities.
But it's exactly what I just said, which is what had been previously acceptable to you was no longer acceptable.
Right.
And so that's internal work. That's you have a knowing that, like, no, this is not it anymore. And you may not know what you want to change or how you want to change it. That's okay. Hit me up. That's what we do. We help people figure out. I mean, I work with everybody, but most of my clients don't come to me and say, I want X. They go, I know I don't want this.
Yes.
let's build something else. And then we figure that out.
Absolutely. So I'm sure there's things in your life that you've done to launch to the next level. Could you share two things you've done in your life to launch?
Yes. So I have been an entrepreneur for almost my entire adult life. I learned very quickly out of college that while I worked well with people, I did not work well for people. And it was just not my jam. I come from entrepreneurs. Like I needed some control in my life, and I don't like to be told what to do. So on two separate occasions, I started businesses based on some previous experience that I had, and I just sort of put myself out there. And my coaching business started in the volcano that was my life. My whole life was being upended. I was going through a divorce, and I realized that the business that I had already wasn't serving me in my greater good. And I started to recognize that people saw me as a coach long before I saw me as a coach. I started to really pay attention to that and listen to that. And I just said, okay, well, let's just put a name to this and let's just see what happens. And it really worked. But what I found was that you very quickly run out of runway if you have one-to-one services. You run out of time. And then the only option you have is just to get more and more expensive, which is all fine and good. And I support raising your prices. But at what point does that not work? And so to really launch, I did something that felt really terrifying for me, which was I created a year-long membership, coaching membership program. And what I ended up doing was creating a program I wish I'd had for myself. So it's called the Intentionally Brave Entrepreneurs Program. And it's coaching, mastermind, training, accountability, sprints and challenges. Like, it's all of these amazing things. We have a series of small cohorts that work individually, and then they work collectively together. And it's this big, beautiful, gorgeous family of people who show up for one another in ways I've just never seen humans do. But I was terrified. I didn't know anything about how to do a group program. I didn't know if I'd be any good at it. And it turns out I am, which was great. So just taking a really big leap of faith there was a huge launch for me. And I took my business, I mean, I tripled my income once I did that. And now I only take 2 one-on-one coaching clients a year, and it is expensive because my time is really limited and I focus on growing this program. And one of the other ways that I've done that is, there are so many actually, but it's starting my podcast. I knew for years I wanted to have a podcast. I love the idea of podcasting, but I thought, well, what do I have to say? Who wants to listen to me? I don't know what I want the topic to be. And then one night in March, 3 years ago now, making dinner for my family, and I thought, oh, the Brave Files. I could tell stories of people who were living this brave life that I've been coaching on and teaching on for a long time. And we can help redefine what bravery means to all of these different people. And I literally went from my kitchen to my computer. I bought the domain and I put a post on Facebook that said, on April 12th, I'm launching a podcast called The Brave Files. If you have a brave story to tell, let me know. And I got my first 12 people and I did the recording. And then I went, oh my God, I have no idea how to do a podcast. Literally do not know what I'm doing. I have no idea.
None of us do, right?
No. And so then I did some research. I joined some Facebook or some podcasting communities, and I hired a podcasting coach. And we did 3 sessions, and she was amazing and helped me really figure out the structure and the format. And then we just did it. And it was really, I did it in 6 weeks. It was wildly stressful. And my partner was like, you pick this arbitrary date. You're so stressed, you can change it. And I'm like, no, because I believe in creating momentum for ourselves, and I need a deadline to reach. If I didn't put a date on it, it was going to be a forever. It was going to be a, well, one day I will. And it wasn't going to be, I wasn't going to let it be a one day I will. It's going to be on this day I will. And it's been so successful that this past year during the pandemic, so many people wanted to start podcasts. I created a new company called the Podcast Power Academy to help high achievers who want an aid, because it's really, we provide everything from branding and artwork to custom music and editing and coaching and all of it, right? It's not like a checklist, like here for $30, you could go and start a podcast. It's really soup to nuts. And because I wish I'd had something like that for me, it would have changed everything to have that, because I had to piecemeal it. I had to pull all these pieces together. So I would say those two, but there are a lot of examples.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your expertise on the Launch Podcast. How do people get a hold of you, Heather?
Yeah, so easy to find. My kids think I'm a celebrity because if you Google Heather Vickery, I pop up. I don't have the heart to tell them it's just good SEO, but I'm at vickeryandco.com. I have a free group on Facebook. It's called Brave on Purpose, and it's a collective of individuals who are looking to leverage their fear into intentional bravery. I invite you all to come join us, answer three questions, come hang out, check out the Brave Files podcast. And I'm on all of the social medias at Vickery and Co. And I really do like to connect. So I'd love to offer any of your listeners, if you're curious about anything I said, you want to know more, you want to just make a new friend. If you go to my website, again, vickeryandco.com, you can sign up for a virtual coffee date. It's just you and me, 20 minutes. Let's just hang out.
Fun. Yeah. Awesome. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Heather, for joining the Launch Podcast today. To all of our listeners, thank you so much. I'm sure you enjoyed this podcast episode, and I look forward to next week's episode. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.